All right, so this lecture is on the third major event in the creation era. Jasmine, the first major event in the creation era is the
fall.
The first major one.
Oh, creation.
It's the creation of man, right, the creation of man. And the most significant thing we learn about the creation of the man is what? What is the most significant thing we learn about the creation of man? Someone who doesn't always raise their hand. Someone who doesn't always... Diane.
Man is made out of the image of God.
Yeah, man is made in the image of God. All right, so having said that, what was the primary responsibility that man had? Probably could say it in two things. Nate, give me one.
The garden.
Initially to tend to the garden, and then that transfers to have dominion over the entire earth. And what's the next thing? There's one more thing that's coupled with that. Someone who doesn't always raise their hand. What's the other thing? Danny.
To name all the animals.
Well, that's done. It's for all humanity. Nate.
To glory God.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's to do what? Husbands and wives. Yeah, to repopulate. So to do the world, have dominion on the world, and then what? Have lots of children, all right? That's to create this people that worship and love God. Transition to Genesis chapter number 3, and what happens, Ty, in Genesis chapter 3?
They sin in the garden.
Who sins?
Adam and Eve.
Okay, and we call that the what?
The fall
of man. All right, very good. We move all the way over to Genesis chapter number 6, in Genesis 6. And how does the chapter open? Genesis 6, how does the chapter open? What's going on? The chapter opens with something strange.
There are more men and daughters being born unto them, and the sons of God decided to take them as wives.
Okay, so there's something going on with the sons of God and the daughters of men, right? And we talked about two possible interpretations of that. What was one of them, Jake?
One of them was that they're fallen angels.
Okay, and the other one was what, Dylan?
Sons of Seth.
Sons of Seth. All right, two possibilities. Very good. All right, God looks down, and what is God's response to what he sees? And of course, when we say looks down, we don't mean that God's actually like peering. That's just a figure of speech to describe God seeing. And what is his reaction to what he sees? Sal?
He wants to destroy the world.
Yeah, why? Why does he want to destroy the world? He's tired of it? What's the description of man? Okay, it's more than that. It's even more descriptive. Find it in the verse in the chapter. Find the exact verse. What number is it, Ty?
6:5.
All right, everyone look at 6:5. Everyone look at 6:5. Let's see what the exact description is. How does the Word of God communicate the disgust? Mr. Norton.
The heart was evil and wickedness.
The heart was evil. Is the word continuing in there somewhere?
Continually.
Okay, so that's problematic. And what is God's response to this? What does he say? What's the expression that the writer includes? Angel.
He regrets making mankind.
Yeah, it grieves him. He regrets making mankind, okay? Because of what?
It's the wickedness.
The wickedness. It's over the top. And so a decision is made by God, and that's a difficult expression because it's not like God is day by day making decisions, but the decision is that he's going to do what? Ty?
Destroy the earth with water.
Yeah, destroy the earth with water, okay? Except there's this one man, and the description is amazing, Missy. What is it about this one man?
Noah?
Yeah, and what is it about him? What's the description? What's the verse? Find the verse, please. It's in there. Kyrie.
Verse 8,
and he finds what?
Grace.
Okay, that's an important point. We defined that yesterday. Justin, how do we define that yesterday? We defined the word grace yesterday. How do we define it?
Something we don't earn.
There was a particular phrase I gave you.
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. We spent a few minutes talking about a merit and a demerit. Unmerited favor. So grace is unmerited favor. So Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he's given really two specific instructions, one of which is to build an ark, and the other one is to start preaching. To start preaching. He's described as a preacher of what?
Righteousness.
Thanks, JJ. Righteousness. Right. Righteousness. Okay? In the New Testament, righteousness. What is his message? What is his message? What is Noah's message? Danny. Yeah, get in the ark because of what?
Judgment's coming.
Right, judgment's coming. And he does this for somewhere around 100 years, and the response is overwhelming, and there's a global revival.
No.
Not at all. What is one of the hang-ups people have with what Noah's saying? What is one of the hang-ups that they have? It's never rained before. Jack says it's never rained before. And he's describing this idea of water being everywhere. And that's very hard to imagine. So what is required, Missy? What is required on behalf of Noah and anyone else? Jillian?
Faith.
It's required faith. All right, let's talk about the word faith. I was interviewing a little boy last night about the word faith in a baptism interview, and he had no clue what the word faith meant. So how would you help a 9-year-old understand the word faith? Someone who hasn't answered so far. Katie, how would you help a 9-year-old in Awana understand the word faith?
You can use the chair analogy, like standing on the chair and having faith that you're holding.
Okay, a chair analogy. All right, give me a synonym.
Something you believe in
and
can't see.
Jake? Depending.
Putting your own trust in.
So what were they having to trust?
Having to trust God. God's word.
Noah.
They're going to have to trust Noah. That's right. They're going to have to trust. Because had they heard from God?
No.
So they had to believe the word that Noah was delivering and that he got it from God. And I drew some parallels yesterday. Do you remember the parallels we drew? Yesterday, what do I mean by a parallel? When we say we're going to draw a parallel, what do we mean, Sal, when we say we're going to draw a parallel? What?
Yeah.
The opposite? No. Something similar. All right, so we're going to draw some parallels. All right, we're talking about Noah, a preacher of righteousness. We're talking about faith. We're talking about ark. Now, what parallels are we going to draw? Start thinking right now. Stop daydreaming and start thinking. What were the parallels we drew yesterday? What were the parallels? Someone else who hasn't answered. Miss Yerby, what were some of the parallels we drew yesterday? Jasmine.
The 40 days.
And we drew some parallels between 40 days and 40 days. What else, though? What was the overarching big picture parallel that we were trying to draw yesterday? Brandon.
The ark is a picture of salvation.
Yeah, the ark is a picture of salvation. Now, what were the parallels? The ark is a picture of salvation. What are some of the parallels?
Ty. Bible wants connectivity.
What?
Bible wanting complete connectivity.
No, I want to know the parallels between the two things. Someone else, give me something.
Crossing
Nate.
The ark.
What?
Crossing the ark.
Christ and the ark. Christ and the cross. We don't get in the cross. We get in what?
Christ.
We're part of the body of Christ. We're adopted into the family of Christ. So the ark is a picture of Christ. All right, very good. The ark is a picture of Christ. What is another parallel that we can draw? Jacob.
The flood is the example of hellfire.
Yeah, the flood is the example of the coming judgment. So we can do global destruction on the earth and eternal destruction in where?
Hell.
All right, let's draw another parallel.
The meat they ate was kosher.
What?
The meat that they had was kosher.
No. Another parallel. I want to focus only on salvation. The parallels between salvation. There's more. Exactly. Perfect. You, in the same way that people in that day were expected to have faith in Noah's message, people today are expected to have faith in the preacher's message because the preacher's getting it from where? The Word of God. Coming judgment. Faith in the ark, faith in Christ. Okay? Both situations are very similar. Give me another parallel. I'll give you a hint. The New Testament says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow the path, and few there be that find it. So what's the parallel?
That Noah and his family were the few that found the path to salvation.
That's right. Noah and his family were the few, right? Most people died of the flood. And what does the Word of God say concerning the future? Wide is the path that leads to
destruction.
Narrow is the way, and few do what? Yeah, few find it, okay? So the parallels continue to get larger and larger and larger. Faith in a preacher's message. Faith in a preacher's message. They are incredible. Now, someone said earlier with regard to the 40s. What were the point of the 40s? And there are several. Let's go over some of them. Jillian?
The 40 days in the wilderness.
40 days in the wilderness. Another 40.
The 40 days of Christ returning to the earth.
40 days after his resurrection until he ascends. 40
years in the desert.
40 years in the desert. Desmond? Okay, but there's another one, the Noah one.
The 400 years.
400 years, very similar, yep.
Rain for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And we said that the reason we don't have 39 and 56 and 27 and 21 and 82 was what?
Connectivity.
Yeah, we want connectivity. Not we, God intended connectivity. Very good. All right, how many people, Ms. Brewer, are on the ark, and how many are saved?
Eight.
All right, very good. And who are the eight?
Hem, Shem, Japheth, and their wives, plus Noah and his wife.
Right. Do we have any names of the wives?
No.
No names of the wives. Okay. What is the significance of Shem? What is significance of Shem? Significance of Shem.
He's a lineage of
Right, he's the godly lineage. He's the godly lineage. Let me show it to you on the board, okay? It's very important for you to see this because our New Testament author is going to do this later on. He's going to make sure that we know how far this thing goes back. All right, so you will often hear that Jesus is a son of David. You'll often hear Jesus is the son of David. So let's go on over here to David. And we know that David is of the tribe of Judah. So let's go all the way back to Judah. And we know that Judah's father was whom, Jasmine?
Jacob.
Jacob, very good. And Jacob's father was whom, Justin? Jacob's father was whom?
Isaac.
And Isaac was the child of?
Promise.
And Isaac's father was whom?
Abraham.
Very good. Very good. We're getting there. And Abraham's lineage can be traced back to Shem. Abraham, we're going to see in a few minutes that Abraham goes back to Shem. That's the Shem of who?
Noah.
Very good. And Noah's lineage is going to be traced back to who?
Seth.
Very good. And Seth's lineage is traced back to who?
Adam.
Excellent. And that's the most important lineage that I want you to see. I want you to go from Adam to Seth to Noah to Shem to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David to Jesus. That's very important that you're able to do that. Let's do it again. Jesus back to King David. King David, right? Okay, Judah. Okay, Shem, Noah, Seth, Adam. Okay, very important that you get that. You puzzled, Ty?
No, I'm just looking.
Okay, very good. All right. We already talked the 40s. Let's go over one more time the 7 and the 2s. What were the significance of the 7 and the 2s, Norton? Mr. Norton, 7s and 2s. You forgot. Okay, we talked about it yesterday, so that's why we're reviewing today. Justin, 7s and 2s.
7s were for the clean animals and 2 were for the unclean.
Right. Did you write that down, Mr. Norton, or are you not taking notes? How's that working out for you? Okay, you worked it out yesterday. Why don't you write it down another time? Because repetition is the key to
learning.
Thank you. Repetition is the key to
learning.
Excellent. Repetition is the key to learning. So what were the clean animals? We gave you another word yesterday for it, and Katie Yerby is the one that gave it to us. What was it?
Kosher.
It was kosher, right, with a what?
Okay.
Okay, excellent. And we talked about kosher hot dogs. Kosher hot dogs. In fact, that's the brand that we, I'm trying to think about right now, the brand that we eat. What's the name of it? There's 7 of them
Hebrew
in a package.
National.
What?
Hebrew National.
Yep, that's it, Hebrew National. They are good hot dogs, if you like a hot dog. I particularly like mine grilled, and then I like to add some spicy mustard and some sauerkraut to it. That there is good eating. I also like chili and cheese and onions. That also is good eating, okay? As long as they're kosher. So 7 and 2. Remember that. 7 and 2. All right, let's go over 2 birds. Two birds. Why are we going over two birds? What were the birds?
Oh, raven.
Raven and a? And a what?
Dove.
And a dove. Very good. Interesting that we have a dove coming out. I think about dove and I immediately go to what?
Christ.
Right. I go to the baptism of Christ right away. I'm going to the baptism of Christ in my mind. Are these parallels intentional or coincidence?
Intentional.
Yeah, they're very intentional. They're very intentional. They're very intentional. What was the purpose of launching the birds? Yeah, to see if it's time to get out or not. All right, where did that ark land? Where did that ark land? Right, did you have that written down in your notes?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be able to answer that tomorrow or you get it wrong? How's that going to work out for you? You're going to get it right?
Yes, sir.
All right, can you spell it?
Can I get my notes?
Well, yeah, but not tomorrow, you can't.
Yes, sir.
All right, can you spell it without looking at your notes? Yeah, let's hear it, Mr. Davis. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Did you all get it? You got it, Nathan? And where do we say that was located at today?
Turkey.
Very good. Modern day Turkey. Okay. All right. What is the uniqueness of the, or what should we take away from the particular references to, like, look with me in chapter number 8, verse 13. Look with me in chapter number 8, verse 13. What is the point of these particular references, like in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month? What's the significance of that?
That produces
longer
before the fall.
Okay, yes, you're right. That's a true statement. I want to know what's the significance of this specificity of assigning the date and the month and the day. Gillian.
To show how long they had been on the earth for.
Okay, it does show how long, but what is the point of establishing how long? What do I gain from that? Jake?
Credit.
Yeah, credibility. In other words, I get a better understanding that we're not talking about a fable. Because fables don't have that kind of specificity. We're not talking about Greek mythology. We're not talking about bizarre things right here. This is a historical what? Yeah, it's a historical record. It's a historical record. It says on the this year, on the first month, and this day. And then it tells you exactly how long this happened, exactly how long this happens. Nobody writes like that when you're just telling a story. This is a record of the event. This is the specificity that we want here. Okay. Verse 18 records. Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. All right, what is that? What is that that we just read? What is that?
Promise.
It's a promise. Give me another name for promise.
Covenant.
It's a covenant, right. It's a covenant. So, did you see the covenant? What is the essence of the covenant? What is the essence of the covenant? It's coming back to you tomorrow, so make sure you know it. What is the essence of the covenant?
He's not going to flood the earth.
It's more specific than that. It's more specific than that. Mr. Norton.
He won't destroy the earth with water.
He says, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. So what is the promise?
He will not kill every living creature at once.
Ever again. Yeah. It's a promise that he will never destroy the earth like this again. Never.
That means, isn't there a fire there?
Right.
So,
absolutely.
So no more sacrifice.
So what are you saying?
Like killing all the animals from fire, do the same thing?
Yeah, it certainly would. So evidently there must be a means whereby he's going to save the animals before he destroys the earth. He's got a promise right here. What's the promise say?
He will not kill every animal once.
That's right. So there must be some means, Nate, whereby he's not going to do it. And he can do it any number of ways. If he could put animals in an ark, he can certainly put animals in the New Jerusalem. He can do anything he wants. It will not be a hard thing for God. What else do we find in the promise? In verse number 22, what else do we find in the promise?
It will be season.
Kyrie, go.
He's saying that day and night and all the seasons, they won't stop.
Yeah, the seasons. Make sure you understand that. The seasons. Winter, fall, summer, spring. The seasons. See them there? It says the seasons. What is it? Seed time and what?
Harvest.
Harvest. That's spring and fall, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not what?
Cease.
Shall not cease. Now, think with me for just a moment about global warming. Global warming. There is a gigantic effort being made to modify the way we live by reducing greenhouse emissions. What are greenhouse emissions? Sal, what are greenhouse emissions?
Like carbon dioxide and stuff.
And supposed to do what to what?
Destroying the layer of pressure we have in the atmosphere.
Right. And such, that's going to do what to the earth?
Let us burn, I guess.
The sun, the atmosphere absorbs most of the heat from the sun, so if we don't have an ozone layer, the scientists think they will all die.
Okay, and you sure did whisper that. I wish you would have said a little bit louder for the recording, because that was a good explanation. Let's go to our board. Draw an earth. Here's an earth. Very good. And around the earth is a what?
Ozone layer.
Okay. And way out here is the big fat sun, and the sun rains down all kinds of what? Heat, right? Heat. Okay, and what does this thing do?
Absorbs most of the heat.
Acts as an insulator. Right? Is that a fair description? Acts as an insulator?
Sure.
Okay? And the idea is that these greenhouse emissions from what kind of things?
Cars,
what else?
Fires.
Ships.
Coal
plants.
Tires.
Petroleum. All this kind of stuff. Dylan?
Factories.
What?
Factories.
That this is going to do what?
Erase it.
Punch a hole in here.
It already has.
Okay, and as such, it's going to create this devastatingly hot earth. Right? So hot to the point where we no longer have what?
Life.
Before that?
Water.
Seasons. And before, and then seasons would be? After that, it would be ultimately?
Death.
Yeah. Okay. What do you have here?
Promise that will happen.
Promise that that will not happen. Let's look at it one more time. Verse 22. While the earth does what?
Remain.
Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and what?
Winter.
Day and night shall not what?
Cease.
Okay. So, is it my job to keep the earth?
No.
Who's going to do it?
God.
Until what time?
Until
he's done. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. You have a promise from God that summer and winter will continue until it's done. And he is not expecting us to make that happen. He promised it right here. Now, does that mean that we dump oil down the sewer systems and destroy our lakes?
No.
No. But the implications of the global warming are that we shouldn't have factories, we shouldn't be making these improvements, that we're going to have to go back some way. We're going to have to spend more money.
Hybrids were a waste of time.
I wouldn't say that they're a waste of time, but here's the issue that you need to consider, not me. That America's $17 trillion in debt. So we're spending money we don't have to protect a zone that God promised he would protect. That's the thought. If we were balancing our budget, we weren't in debt, if we were balancing our budgets, then I don't have any problems spending money on solar developments, greenhouse gas emissions, and all that. But when we're printing money to go deeper in debt to prevent a problem that the Bible says God's going to take care of, that's the issue. Prior to this, our nation did not borrow money in order to invent things. This is a new idea, this going deeper and deeper in debt. You know, Benjamin Franklin didn't bust the nation's budget inventing things. And now we've lost our mind as a nation. And when I said it, I'm almost 50. Next year's 50 for me, buddy. Maybe I got two more decades. You're the one that's going to inherit this colossal debt, not me. Chapter number 9, verse 1. Look at the reiteration of the commandment. The reiteration of the commandment. What is the reiteration? There it is. Say it louder.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah, one more time. Be fruitful and multiply. Nothing's changed. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps from the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hands they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. There's a change. We just identified a change. What is the change? Kyrie.
You can eat meat.
Right. We just left vegetarian and we just moved to meat eaters. What's the description?
Every.
It says every what?
Everything that liveth shall be meat for you.
Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. As I gave you the green plants, now he's making a movement. He gives them what?
Everything.
Everything. There's the movement. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning of life. Look at verse number 6. This is an important statement. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. What form of punishment has just been established in that verse? Someone who hasn't answered. What form of punishment has been validated, Brandon? What form of punishment? There's a particular name we give it. A particular name we give it. What form of punishment has just been validated? What form of punishment? Angel. There's a particular name we give it. Mr. Norton. Capital punishment. Write that down in your notes and write the verse with it. Capital punishment. That means I kill you. The state, the entity, the governing authority has the right to kill me. Notice what it says. It's very particular. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? Why is it critical that man not kill man?
Because man is God.
Right, because he's made in the image of God. He's made in the image of God. And you be fruitful and multiply, teem on the earth and multiply it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, and as many as came out of the ark, for it is every beast of the earth. Verse 11, I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you and all future generations. I have set my what? My what in the cloud?
Bow.
Bow. Right. Rainbow. There it is right there. Rainbow. That's the idea. A coloring effect right there. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds. See, we're obviously talking about a what?
Rainbow.
A rainbow. We're obviously talking about what we call a rainbow. And I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of the earth. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all earth. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember. Listen to this description. The everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I've established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. There it is right there. So you must understand and know the significance of the covenant. What is it? Who established it? How long does it last for? What does it look like? What's the sign? It's right there. Questions? Kyrie?
Coming back to verse 6.
Okay.
It says, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, his blood, red man shall his blood be shed. Would that justify the actions going on in the Middle East? How they retaliated going back over there after what happened on 9/11?
Who retaliated?
America.
Well, America going back over there in order to put a stop to what ISIS is doing, is that what you're saying? Well, I think there's a similar application there, which is the fact that anyone who kills someone in the form of murder must be executed, that you cannot allow that to go unchecked. Nate?
So, say someone gets arrested for murder, but they get away from it. Would it be right
No, it would not be right for you to execute it, because we move to the New Testament, and the New Testament makes it clear that the governing authorities are is the entity that God has ordained to do that. Jake?
I remember passing this yesterday, but in chapter 7, the very beginning, it says, on chapter 6, he gave you the limit of life, 120 years.
Right.
But then later on, we see Noah lived to be well over 100.
Sure. So there's always exceptions. It seems to be communicating a general limiting of age, but there's always exceptions in nearly everything. For example, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, right? And yet we know at least two people who didn't die. Those being whom? Right. So does that mean that the verse is incorrect? No. It's making a general truth, which is, for the most part, everyone's going to die. There's also a generation that's not going to die when the Lord comes back. They're not going to be killed only to turn around and be resurrected instantly in order to be executed, so that the verse is correct. So I believe that it's communicating that this is one of the judgments is going to be a lessening of the years that people are living. Okay. Anyone else have any questions about Noah, the flood, the ark, anything like that? Noah, the flood, the ark, anything like that? All right, verse 18. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these people the whole earth were dispersed. From these people the whole earth were dispersed. Noah became a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank wine and became drunk, laid and uncovered his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and walked backward to cover the nakedness of their father. What we see in this text is a respect for dad, and the nakedness is a private thing. All right, we are dismissed.